giving grateful praise to God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endureth forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen.
Thank Richard for leading us into this morning's worship and part of cymbals and percussion instruments are all part of this song. But before I talk a little bit about the psalm and what it has to say, and it's only five verses, so it's not going to be very long, but there are some interesting points in it. But I wonder what sort of week you and I have had. And I wonder what sort of couple of weeks I've had in a sense, because I know some of you know how much I've been going through with my disabled brother in Lincolnshire, because that's come out on the prayer chain and all that's been happening there. But in a sense, we struggled through that over the last fortnight. And in a sense, where we thought that it was probably going to be close to the end, he has Down syndrome, 67, he's amongst the top end of the age range of the UK. And the challenges which were coming ahead on that, and after being 29 years with MenCap, the whole concept of having to change was not actually going to be very easy. But in a sense, what God stepped in, and in a sense, we praise God for that, because in a sense, where we thought the health was deteriorating rapidly, then when he moved to this new home, where I've been up there, my brother, over the last few days, last week, suddenly the health changed, suddenly began to get better. And I thank God for that, because we were not expecting it. And that's the sort of fortnight that I've actually had. And I wonder what sort of fortnight that maybe you've had, some of the things which are, we've been struggling with, whatever they may be. There might be work issues, there may be health issues, there may be other issues which are going on within our minds, within our family situations, which is what happened to me. But, you know, apart from all of what's going on in our minds, apart from all the difficulties we actually face, Psalm 100 steps into that position. And he tells us, I want to shout for joy. I want to praise you. I want to lift you above all that you're actually going through. So that's what's happened, in a sense, to me over this last couple of weeks. And in a sense, twisting around my thoughts for this morning. And I know Richard knows what that means. But it's all come together in a sense, because we tackle issues in our lives which are difficult. But in a sense, as we tackle them, we don't tackle them on our own. We go forward with them, with what God wants of us. And I praise God for that. So what do we know about this psalm? It's been read to us, it's only five verses. And it's broken down into two sections. The first part of it, verses 1 to 3, are a call to worship. And the last verses 4 to 5 is why do we come to worship? The call to worship, this psalm particularly, is often used at the beginning of a church service. Probably not so much now as it used to be. But it was used maybe more of a traditional call to worship in the churches as people would lead church services. Then why do we do it? The comment, he talks about the ground for this call, and that's what I want to speak about. So what do we know about this Psalm 100? The first verse tells us, begins, shout to the Lord all the earth. We've been doing that in the singing we've done this morning and the instruments we've played. The whole earth is called to shout and joyfully sing to the Lord. It's not just a command to Israel that David wrote about in his writings, but it was a command to whole communities and a whole humanity at the time. Every man, woman, and child is called to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, which is so important. We need to approach God, as we've done this morning, in the right attitude, with the right motives of why we come to worship. We come before him in faith, believing, because it's what we want to do. and also with humility. Faith, believing and acknowledging that Christ is in us, that God is in us, and he wants us to be that. And humility, accepting that this is part of God's plan and instructions to our lives. We come with an obedience and willingness, hopefully this morning, a willingness to worship him, and a willingness to believe what he has for us, a willingness to take away something this morning from what we said, what we sang, what we've read about. Psalm 96 also speaks of this in the same way. Come, let us worship and bow down. Kneel before you, your Lord, your Maker, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pastures and the sheep of his hands. Worshipping God in faith and humility, in reverence and obedience are all part of that, as well as in spirit and in truth. And that command to be joyful throughout all that. But there will be times when we don't feel like worshipping God, when we feel we've had enough with all which is going on, all the stress which is going on, all the things happen within our lives, with our work situations, for those who are working, with our family situations. There will be times like that when we don't feel like worshipping our powerful and ever-living God. But we need to rise above that struggle. And in a sense, I suppose, this last couple of weeks, I've had to try and do that. And we have, as a family, began to rise above those issues which we were actually facing. Psalm commands us to serve the Lord with gladness, regardless of all the things we go through, regardless of all the things that clutter our minds and our days. He commands us to serve the powerful and ever-living God, but with gladness. Whether we're singing, whether we're praying, whether we're taking communion, as we've done already today, whether we're listening to God's word, we should do that also in gladness and in joyfulness, because that's what God wants of us. Our whole lifestyle should be desired to worship God, to trust and believe in him. There should be no greater privilege than to worship and serve our living God and the people that he calls us to serve. And that is so important. In verse 3, he speaks about the following. Come before him with joyful singing. We've done that this morning also. The Lord wants our singing to be jubilant and joyful. In the New Testament, in Ephesians 5, verse 19, he speaks about the following. That it should always come, our rejoicing, our belief, our commitment should always come from the heart. We're taught to sing and make a true worship, joyful noise is all we actually have. True worship there comes and will always come from within us, representing peace and love and forgiveness. Because if we have that peace within us, we have that love which reaches out from us into others, we can then also forgive others. So that true worship has to come and will always come from within us, representing these three things. So what about the last two verses? Well, there are 6 points in that last two verses, but don't worry, they're all pretty quick bullet points, basically. It is quite amazing how much there is in this psalm. The Lord is good. The nations of that time had many gods. In fact, they weren't actually gods at all. Psalmist declares to the world and all that, the Lord is God. He is the one and only God. Men and women should indeed bow down and worship him. The second point was it has to be, he actually made us. Psalmist knew we did not make ourselves. We know we didn't make ourselves. We were made and created by God, by the living God, all powerful and ever living God. We hear the message about the potter and the clay. That's for you and I. We are created by God to serve him, to obey him, and to believe in him. He wants to mould us into what he desires from us with our lives. Times that will not be easy. So God is the creator, the one who formed us, the one who actually breathed life into us as we read in Genesis 2, verses 18 to 25. We are his people was one of the other points. That's a cause for thanksgiving. We're set apart to do what God wants us to actually do. We're people of God who are his people, created by him, are his people by faith and belief. And without him, we're probably nothing. But if we believe in him, we are made whole by what God has for us. The Lord is good is one of the other points. You know, men and women are in good in the main. Sometimes we say and do things which are outside the will of God, outside when we get ourselves mussed up, when we get ourselves into problems and issues which we don't know the way through. But in general, we should be doing his will. God is good in completely in a sense. God, there is no evil or wrong. And it's that wrong that God actually hates. However, in the world today, we know that there is so much wrong. We know that men and women decide to go their own way. And when men and women decide to go their own way, then things start going wrong. That's when things start happening. That's when God needs to step into the lives of individuals. And that is so important. So that is the sort of world we live in. Because people want to go their own way and they want to do their own thing. His kindness is everlasting. God's not kind today and good today and an evil tomorrow. His kindness is forever and is complete. And if we trust in him, he imparts that into our lives and into our being as well. It's based on this. Endures all to all generations who are often weak, who wanted to do the things their own way, but God is still faithful. You know, we take on the challenges in life, and sometimes they're not easy, and many times they're not easy when we're faced with those challenges, such as health issues, such as maybe housing issues, such as other issues which are in our lives within our family. But God's still there. His faithfulness endures to all generations. All of us often fail God, but he's still faithful to us. He doesn't disregard us. He takes us and sets us apart and gives us completeness. God's faithfulness is there all the time. When the ups and downs come, when we feel go away from God, he's still there. We may not always see it, but he is. It's not a matter of what we go through. God is still faithful to everything we believe in him. So how can we round this up? This reason alone should give us a motivation to be thankful. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, recognising that God steps into our situations regardless of what they are. We need to be encouraged by him to seek and learn more about what he wants from us. We should keep in mind in the following. Without God, we wouldn't exist. Without him, we'd be nothing and have nothing. Everything we have, every blessing comes from God. So we should always try to give thanks. Even if it's hard going sometimes, we need to stand back. And I suppose in some ways that's what I've seen in the last couple of weeks, where I thought that we were coming to a very difficult situation. My brother and I talked on the phone about it. But our faith rose us above that. We put it round the prayer chain at Lark in the Park also at the time. And the number of people who are not even members of this church who picked up on it, who came to me and stood beside me, they were praying for you. Above everything, we must be thankful people, continuing praising God for what he wants to give us. Because what he gives us, it's our desire, it should be our desire, to share that with others. Amen.
Be seated. I'm kind of semi-hijacking the service, which sometimes is unusual, sometimes is usual for me. But it's been brought to my attention that God is very faithful in all the circumstances that we as individuals, as we as a fellowship go through, and as was brought out in Paul's sermon this morning. And my eye was drawn by another member of the congregation that there's a member sitting here this morning who will be transferring their membership soon, but doing a job that he has looked forward to for so many years. And this may be the last opportunity that Andy will be with us before he takes up that pastorate. So Andy, would you like to come up front? And I think it's only right that as a family that has supported you over so many years, that we just take this opportunity to wish you well as you move to Crayford. I know it's been a hectic number of years, to use a very professional word, but you have remained faithful to him and he has remained faithful to you. So as a family at SBC, can I ask you to stand as we pray for Andy as he moves on to his pastorate at Crayford. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Andy. We thank you for his trust in you. No matter what the evil one threw at him, you kept him solid as a rock, focused on what you and he believe is the right path for him. So, Father, as he moves from his fellowship here to his new fellowship at Crayford, we ask, Lord, that you will give him insight, that you will give him encouragement, that you will give those around him to give him support, give him direction. But, Father, most of all, Lord, as a family, we ask that the masters will bond together, that they will know your love, that you will be with them every step of the way on this new chapter of their life. In your heavenly name, amen.
Amen.
Sorry, be seated for a moment. I actually put in my phone.
Do you want to close with a blessing?
Yeah, okay,
that's fine.
I actually put into my phone as I'm sorry, Paul, it was during your sermon. But I put in my phone during the sermon a reminder for me tomorrow, contact Rachel, transfer membership. So you might expect an email from me tomorrow. There's not a lot I want to say because this is my spiritual home. And it will always be my spiritual home. I started coming here when I was 14, I think it was, 1984. And when I went to AV Hill 7 years ago, or it would be 8 years ago in September, I remember saying then that actually this is still my spiritual home. It's where I grew, where Sycup Baptist, if you like, were my parents who enabled me to, to try out my gifts and my talents and so on with the support that if it went wrong, they still accepted me and would help me to stand up again and carry on. So this is always going to be my spiritual home. And so thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your encouragement. Thank you for your love, not just for me, but for all of us as a family. Let's pray. Lord God, we do indeed thank you that you are a faithful God and that you tell us in your word that these three things remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And we thank you that your love is experienced in this place. And we thank you for the faith that we have known and we have seen grow in our lives in this place. We thank you for the fact that you are a God of faithfulness, as we have been singing, and that faithfulness endures, and it is good. And we thank you that you are the God of hope, and that where despair threatens, God, still your hope will pull us through. And we thank you that there is a sure and certain hope for us all, that this, however good or however bad it may seem, that this is not the end. This is not all of it. That there is still the best to come. And we thank you for that hope. And we thank you that we can have faith and we can have hope and we can know love because of Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for all that you accomplished through the cross and the empty tomb, through your ascension to heaven. We thank you that you are seated at the right hand of the Father and even now are interceding on our behalf. And so in humility and in trust, we say thank you, Lord Jesus. And now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.